My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Drop your shoulders, take a breath, tune into how you feel, because it's time to stretch. This season of Stretch Marks with Sinead O'Moore is brought to you by new Dove Advanced Care Body Wash. Their best ever Dove body wash with 24-hour renewing micro-moisture, regenerating the skin's natural moisture from within. Dove has been leading the way with campaigns to elevate our body positivity for as long as I can remember, and I am so proud to have them supporting this season of Stretch Marks podcast. So upgrade to the brand new Dove Advanced Care Body Wash and stretch with even more confidence and 24 hours of lotion soft skin straight from the shower. Well, that rolled round fast. It is the final episode of the summer and the season. So to cheer us up, I'm joined by one of the most successful Irish comedians, Emma Doran, who, as it happens, I booked 6 years ago for a brand launch I was leading. So hang on until the end for all the reminiscing of a great night had. Emma has a new book, Mad Isn't It? Available on pre-sale, a memoir, in fact. Because at 18, just before sixth year, Emma got pregnant on a trip to Corktown. What began as her sliding down the wall in a complete fear at the sight of a pregnancy test has been a life of complete strength, hustle and courage. We talk about the promises she made to herself at 18, always working, always providing, always saving, and that moment 10 years on when she felt brave enough to do something for her, an open mic night in Temple Bar. That night nudging her in the right direction, with no great master plan, but a lot of intuition, vulnerability and just letting herself try. And now look at her. Mad, isn't it? If there was a Stretch Marks episode to finish on, this is it. It's a lifetime of stretching into new versions of herself, never staying limited by what life dealt her. And as she wrote the book, acknowledging that even 21 years on from Corktown, there was still a lot of marks to heal. Emma Doran, thank you so much for joining me on Stretch Marks podcast. And can I say author Emma Doran, as the new book, not quite out, but in pre-sale.
It's in pre-sale, yeah. It's real. It's a physical real thing. So yeah, I suppose you can't say it, yeah.
A physical manifestation. Yes. Like a good few years, we could probably agree, of a huge life stretch that you have been on.
So as like a teenager or, you know, 18-year-old, I was very much, you know, I say I was probably confident, but I was a bit like, oh, Scarlet, you know what I mean? I wouldn't have been like really talking about dreams and aspirations or, you know, I would have kept that all to myself. Like any teenager, you know, very concerned about what other people would think or how things would be perceived, all that kind of thing. But was out to have a good time. Went off to Corktown, got pregnant in about 4 days.
Such a wild youth.
My parents were quite strict on me. So yeah. I think when I got the first little sniff of freedom, I just went balubas.
A lesson to all of us, children.
Take it handy. So what happened was when I got back from Corktown, so I was still going into sixth year, very quickly I knew something was off But obviously, I wasn't in the, obviously, as girls growing up, you know, pregnancy, we always talked about pregnancy or what would you do and all these kind of questions. But we'd know, like, we'd know real, like, everyone would know, like, morning sickness.
Mm.
But you wouldn't really know anything beyond that. And I got, like, a very light period. And I thought, oh, this is dodgy. And I was like, uh-oh. And then my friend was like, oh, no, you're grand. Like, you're grand. Like, you got your period, like, whatever. And I remember I did a test. I went and, like, bought a test in town to be, like, so I wouldn't bump into anyone I knew. Did the test in Stephen's Green Shopping Centre and did the whole, like, EastEnders, Cat Slater sliding down a wall, crying, like, dish, 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 like, but, like, devastated. Does not, I don't think it even covers it. And then I think a big part of it was I kept this, like, apart from kind of one friend, I kept it to myself for what felt like an eternity. But say, I found out fairly early on in my pregnancy that I was pregnant because I just kind of knew, I was like, something's not right here. So say for, I don't know, a month and a half, I kept that to myself. And I think it's that thing of when you keep a secret to yourself. I mean, I was just on autopilot. I was just barely functioning.
Mm.
And I think my mom said later that she knew something was going on, but she just put it down to, oh, she's in sixth year. It's a difficult time. There could be anything going on with friends or, you know, Debs or whatever. She was kind of, as you would be, looking in all other directions. So now I was pregnant. I did eventually tell them. And I came out of the fog somewhat. And then, so I had my daughter in the May. Did my leave and cert 13 days later. Went to college in the September. So all of that year was all madness. Like that, you know, from, say, getting pregnant in the August and then going to start college the following September with a three-month-old at home. And I remember going to college. So I was happy that I'd gotten into college and I'd gotten through all that part because I really didn't want to repeat. Because in my mind at that age, I was like, if I repeat, I'm going to be like an L1 doing my leave and cert again. But you know what, that, you know, at that age, the difference between 18 and 20, or, you know, you kind of feel like, oh, we'd be too old doing that.
Yeah.
The young one.
Now look at us.
I know.
It did force you to be like, well, no, I have to grow up. I have to become this new version of me. And I didn't.
And just be very, I suppose, responsible.
Yeah.
And it's like that thing, all the decisions you're making, the first thing you're saying to yourself is like, oh, what about Ella? Or how does that affect that? So like straight away in college, I was like, I'll get my degree. I'll get a job. I'll start saving. I have to be now financially independent and secure. And, you know, obviously kids love, you know, it's all about routine and, you know, where is everyone going to be and who's going to be doing this and who's going to be doing that. And even like when I was in college and I was getting loan parents allowance, I was like, right, I'll try and put a bit of that aside and save, because already I was looking at like the price of rent and, okay, how much would it actually realistically cost me to be out on my own with my daughter and then childcare? And, you know, and obviously when you're starting out in any job, you know, the pay is not going to be great. So I'm like, right, I need to be making enough money to support a household, but as a 20-something-year-old. So I think I was just, yeah, I was just very focused on that was my goal, my motivation. Goal was to finish college, get a job, and just start becoming independent and like building a life. And then even I think after that, when it came to work, I was always looking at jobs. A friend of mine used to laugh at me. I'd be typing into like job sites, jobs within a 5-mile radius of my house. She's like, you might want to broaden the net. And I was like, well, no, because if I get a job close, I'll be able to get it open in the mornings and do all that. You know, like, I'd be thinking, like, obviously, like any parent, you're thinking of all of that stuff. And I would do like, so I never, like, I always had a part of me that wanted to be a performer or involved in that in some way. So I did do a few like production jobs, that I really enjoyed, but like I couldn't sustain that because I couldn't sustain being freelance at that stage in my life. And then the other part of it was with childcare. I mean, you know, what time will you be back at? I don't know. You know, if you're
right, you need the structure.
If you're on a set or whatever, I didn't have the flexibility that I could have just been like, yeah, I'm on a shoot in Wicklow. I don't know when I'll be back. I assume I'll be back today. Because even things, you know, like if people have paid or, you know, people are, we've got this for today, this equipment or whatever it is, we're doing this thing until it's shot or, you know, whatever it is. So there's no like, oh, it's 5 o'clock, I'm gone or whatever. So, yeah, and I found work environments quite hard as well, that there was just no flexibility. Like, you know, lots of places I worked, I'd cut my lunch break so that I could come in at 9:30 and do the run in the morning and whatever. And I was kind of like, this is so mad. But I know, like, so many of us do it, but it is kind of madness. Like, I remember during lockdown, I was in a job, I was a copywriter. And that initial thing when they told us that we were going home for 3 weeks. Oh my God, I skipped out the door. I was like, world pandemic sounds kind of bad, but I'm going home. I was like, woohoo. I was so happy.
But Camille, when was the moment? Because I think this is really important, because I think loads of people are where you are. Regardless of how early in your life you had to start thinking like this, and maybe actually the earlier it started for you, the more ingrained it became, the more like, well, that's just who I am now, it's part of my identity. But I know loads of women who are where we're at now. Their kids aren't as old as Ella, but they're still stuck in that feeling of, I have to stay a version of myself that is serving its best for these other things, these bosses, these colleagues, these mortgages, these children.
Of course.
And it's so hard to step into who you want to be, because the risk of the house of cards falling down is very real. Like, we don't all have like the trust fund to fall back on, you know, and be like, oh, I want to be a circus act. And it's like, well, that's great, but life rolls on, and you had that life. And that's why I think it's so, like, I think why people connect so much with your story. It's like, you still had to make sure everyone was still okay, but you still found a little window of like, yeah, but Emma really wants to figure this out for her.
Yes. And I'm so glad I did. I was 29 when I first did stand up. So I'd done a couple of little things, I mean, nothing major, a few sketches with friends, a little show reel here or there, that kind of thing. Because basically what happened around that time was, so I had Ella when I was 18, and fast forward, you know, 10 years later, I'm with my partner, Shane. We're happy. We're renting a place. Like, you know, we have a family life, with dog, with Ella, and I'm pregnant. And I think when I got pregnant with Joe, I really kind of went, oh, look at how fast that 10 years went. I've been putting in the solid effort to kind of establish myself as a functioning adult. And all, you know, I did my bits. I got my degree. I was a good girl. I did all of that. You know what I mean?
Followed the rules. I did what life told me I was supposed to do.
Yeah, you know, I did all of that, and I was like, that 10 years went very fast. I was like, I kind of went, ooh, fuck, if the next 10 years go as fast, I could quite, I'm not unhappy, just a little niggle. I could kind of go through the rest of my life now doing all this and suddenly kind of realize, oh, did I explore anything? You know, fully. Did I actually explore anything fully? So, like, I dipped in and out, but I think my thing was, I was afraid to be, like, vulnerable, to actually put myself out there. So I put myself out there in little ways, and then I kind of treat, oh, Scarlett, Scarlett, and kind of go back. You know, because I think it probably had taken me so long to feel somewhat secure in myself that and to like to build myself back up and all that, that I was apprehensive to show any vulnerability. And then I kind of twigged. I was like, oh, I was like, fuck. I was like, there's no way around this now. I'm actually going to have to be vulnerable. I was like, oh, shite. I
It's
don't like being,
horrible.
I think I don't like being vulnerable. I'm a Jack Russell kind of a person. Like, I'll sort this out. You know what I mean? I'll go. But like behind it all, like, so when I had had Joe, and actually that was a great experience. I had rose-tinted glasses. I won't say a great pregnancy, but like a trouble-free pregnancy, and the labor, I
You
felt
weren't
great.
doing your leave insert, you know,
I
so that
wasn't doing my
was
labor there, so I was like, this is
this is
grand.
easy.
And I had all those lovely hormones after where I was like, could do anything. And I was like, ah, sure, I was delighted. And my little baby was gorgeous, and Ella was happy out, and I was in great form. I think when he was about 6 weeks old, I applied to an open mic night in Temple Bar. So I had looked into this before, but I was in jobs, you know, and I'm doing my little scroll when, you know, when you're doing your own bits in a workplace. And I'd looked at this website. I mean, I'd say it was close to 100 times I'd got into this website. And this website was very much like a starter pack website. Do you know that, you remember those old websites back in the day that were clearly just made by somebody,
It was just words in squares.
words and squares and the odd like kind of picture, and the picture would kind of download. But anyway, I'd looked at this loads of times, and I was like, do you know what? I'm on maternity leave. I'm going to do this now. So I applied, and it was like, yeah, 7 minutes, gave me a date. It was actually in August, 11 years ago.
Wow.
And then I started writing a set, a 7 minute set. I had no idea how to do it. I never looked up how to do it or whatever, or, you know, like read a how-to book. And I wrote that. And while I had Joe there, and actually at the same time, so funny, my dog had had pups, right? So she'd five pups, dropped the ball. The house was just too fertile to cope, right? So the dog got pregnant. I got pregnant. Chaos. People were like, can I hold a puppy? Can I hold a baby? Everyone was like, this is an amazing house. And we were like, it's a lot. So as the five puppies are going around, and I have my baby, and Ella's, you know, outside with her mates and doing cartwheels and all that good stuff, having sales of work, I was writing this set. And then I started getting a bit panicky. I was like, ooh, because they gave it to you a few weeks in advance, you know. And Shane obviously thought this was postnatal depression. He thought it was like
This is something,
manic
some
episode,
trauma finding its way out.
something. Yeah. But what we did was we went the week before to watch it, because I hadn't really been to much stand-up comedy either. Do you know what I mean? Because you do get into the habit of, I think we're all guilty of it. You know, when you have small kids, and as they start to get older, you kind of go, oh, I can actually go and do this thing. But you're so in the zone of like, Jesus, I wouldn't be going out on a weeknight or whatever. You know what I mean? Or like, I think even like being a single parent for so long as well, you just kind of, I don't know. It's a funny one. So I suddenly realized, oh, I can go and do stuff or whatever. Or, you know, I have a partner I
I've
can
helped this
share.
time.
Yeah, I can share it with. I wasn't really like twigging that. So we went the week before I was due to go to see what it was like. And then so I went back the next week on my own. And I, oh my God, I arrived early, and I announced to the barman, I'm here for the comedy. And he's like, good for you. He's like, clean the glass or something. Like, whatever. You know, and but then so that night it's like open mic, and it's they have like load of acts on doing 7 minutes each. I think maybe 10 people, and I did mine. I was fairly far down the list. I think I was maybe eighth or something, and I did it, and like whew, the adrenaline, the rush. I didn't expect that part of it, and then I was getting compliments from people in the crowd. Like I say, crowd, I'm talking about 30 people max. But they do at that competition, they used to do this thing where they do a vote on the night of who was the best. And I won the vote. I got the, they could have a little certificate and everything. So I went home delighted with myself. I was like, I won. And she was like, you what? I was like, yeah, I won. So that then basically that ignited the lifelong obsession But like, even when I started it, the goal was, I just want to do it. I just want to see if I can do it. I just want to
prove to yourself almost.
I want to do this for myself. I think I'm funny. I want to see if I can do it on stage, because I know that's a very different thing. I was like, maybe I'll meet some funny people or somebody who's like involved in like writing, and I could get in on writing on something. Or, you know, like the goals were very small, I have to say. And I'm still like that. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but like, I never had like big, huge dreams, because I think then it just get from my brain, it just gets a little bit.
That won't happen.
Yeah, it just gets a bit much. Or I prefer to deal with like tangible goals, and then bigger goals, I would kind of more just put them into dream categories.
Yeah, but I think that's a sensible way of doing it. You can also talk yourself out of stuff. Like, if you're like, I'm going to set this life of mine on fire because I'm going to have a Netflix special next week.
Yeah.
Like, you're not. So what can you do today to make you to listen to that little voice that's like, oh, try this.
It was more immediate than that. I was kind of like, I have this thing inside me. I have to deal with this now. How can I deal with this now? What's like a realistic thing that I could do? I could go and do an open mic night. And I didn't have anything. It was like, then I got addicted, and I started like just mad for getting gigs, like crazy about getting gigs. And I was, you know, then it kind of builds up when I was getting gigs. Like, can I get paid for any of these gigs? And then at one point, I think Shane had to say to me a few months, maybe a good few months in, he kind of said to me, say, like, what's going on?
Yeah.
He was just like, no, like I was out like say 3 or 4 nights a week doing these gigs. And he's like, so can I just stop you there? What the fuck is it? Like, I think he was just like, she losing the plot, like. So I kind of said,
you were having an affair, obviously.
Or so, you know what I mean? He's like, what is going on? I'm off again.
Yeah, bye. It's a gig.
Yeah. So I had to say to him, no, look, this is how it works. You have to
do your time.
Up. You have to do your time, build yourself up to the scene. Word spreads within the scene. Oh, she can do a good 10 minutes. And then it's like, oh, she has a 15 now. She can do a 15. You know, I was like, no, it seems mental, but I was like, no, trust me, it is an actual thing. I can see what the stages are or whatever. So he was like, okay, grand. And then he never questioned me about it again. My last job that I had before I like went completely full time, I was a copywriter in a radio station. So that was actually okay, because I was like, oh, I'm doing something creative. And I'd been in that radio station before, like doing sketches and stuff. I was at the point now where everyone knew I was a comedian. I wasn't in jobs like...
Yeah, you weren't hiding in an insurance company in the corner being like, that's the comedian. You were in an environment that actually embraced the creativity in you.
Yeah, so that was kind of starting to feel a bit more just, you know, okay. But it was getting difficult in terms of gigging and having a job. So yeah, like there were some days I was going to work, so it like I did the thing, I took a shorter lunch break so I could be in a half now so I could bring the boys to school. And I remember some days I was bringing my breakfast, my lunch and my dinner to work, because I was doing work and then I was going to go away for gigs and then I was coming into work the next day. And I remember my manager saying to me, Jesus, like, you must be wrecked or whatever. And I was like, yeah, but because I had been doing that for so long, I felt like I had been literally juggling my life like that since I was 18. I was so used to that zone of just like graft, you know, like constant. So myself and Shane had said, I had set a goal of sorts. So I was working towards buying a house. And I was saying, once we get that house, I'll quit the job. Or he kind of said to me, you quit your job once we get that house. And I was like, fine. I had basically made a promise to myself when I was 18 and I had Ella. I was like, I'm going to get a house, because I was like, for me, that is symbolic of me having a stable, secure family life. Mm-hmm. And then when I have that, then I can do a bit of Emma. Do you know what I mean? And I had literally, honest to God, I had been saving since I was 18. I've been like a little squirrel, squirreling away little bits of money for fucking like nearly 20 years. Do you know what I mean? So when it was like, oh fuck, I'm gonna lose this and I'll have to start all again. I was like, God almighty. There was the house, we found this house, right? It was like had been an old person's house. So it wasn't like, you know, the glamorous house where people like it's ready to move into. It was kind of like one of these houses where you needed to know the area, and we're like, that's a grand house. I used to walk up to this house every night. I was like, it's cul-de-sac. I used to walk up to this house every night and I was like, get in that house. I'm getting that house. So I managed to keep the job, get the house in lockdown. Weight lifted. So I was like, there you go, little 18-year-old Emma. It's done. We fucking, it took a long time. We did it completely ourselves. Because obviously that would have been a much quicker process if I had just gotten in a job and stayed in a career and built and built. But sure, I could only do so much, do you know what I mean, for my little head. I could only do so much of like taking jobs seriously. So then I had the house. Grand. And Shane goes, what about the job? I was like, oh,
The doubt
like
creeps in.
yeah, I was like, oh, sticky, sticky, sticky. I was like, oh, you know, and we're still on lockdown. We're still in the lockdowns
Yeah,
where,
you're like, sure, what gigs would I be doing?
yeah, it's still at the kind of stage where you need to have a pack of the crisps if you want to have a glass of wine, kind of a thing, you know, and we're doing social, I think it was maybe doing social distance gigs.
Sorry, you just have to remind me that whole thing of, yeah, you had to have food in certain in certain places.
You have to spin three times and then you can have a pint, but you have to be out of here before 9 or whatever it was. But I used to do like, you know, social distanced gigs and Zoom gigs. Oh God. But I was like, oh, I don't know, I don't know. And then I was like, so I started getting a bit scared then. I was like, oh, is this, because I just started thinking, is this a bit irresponsible now? This is a bit irresponsible now or whatever. But then I had a thing in work and it wasn't a major thing, but so I was doing, of all things, I was doing the 6 o'clock show, right? And I said to my manager, I'm doing the 6 o'clock show. This meeting, the 6 o'clock show, and I'm still working from home. This kind of like equated to me knocking off 15 minutes early. Like when you're a copywriter, there's no mad rush. A quarter
You'll
to
get it
five,
done.
a quarter to five on a Friday. You know what I mean? The carpet ads
It's
will
in.
hold till Monday. It's fine. Like nothing's coming in. I'm sure all the salespeople are off on a jolly Friday afternoon. You can't, you know what I mean? You can't sell people on a Friday afternoon. So we were having a laugh and whatever. He's like, yeah, grand. So then I went on 6 o'clock show, did all that. The next day or the next week or something, CEO was like, what was Emma doing on 6 o'clock show? And I was like, ooh, don't like this. They were kind of like, should she not be talking about the company? And I was like, but I'm not a front-facing
You're not a
member.
spokesperson.
You haven't put me. I was kind of like, you haven't put me as a front person of this company. I'm a background person, you know. And I was kind of like, oh, I'm the front-facing person, me as the comedian. I'm doing that all myself, and you didn't want to jump on board. So I was kind of like, I was kind of rubbed up the wrong way, to be honest. I was a bit like, do you know what? Fuck that now. That's kind of how I felt. Now, it was just a case, I think, obviously, CEO wasn't on social media or was consuming content in a different way to say maybe other people that I worked with had. So when she saw it, she was like, oh God, what's that? But it just, I just kind of went, oh, actually, yeah, I just kind of, it was like one of those little, like, snap things. I just went, actually, fuck this. I was like, I was like, yeah, I will. I'm gonna leave my job. And then the other thing that I had in the background, which helped responsible Emma, was Deirdre O'Kane, my old buddy, old pal. She had a Sky On show that had been pushed back, pushed back, pushed back because of lockdown, and that was actually happening. And that was Sky, so it was English telly. So a few quid, wasn't like, you know, we might send you a taxi or something. Irish telly, but we'll have to see. Like, how
There
do
might
you?
be a gin and tonic after.
Yeah, do you really need a taxi or whatever? But I knew that would, like, right, I could make that stretch. Or, you know, the way if you just have a little pot of something.
You just need a li one little thing that says that's going to make it okay. It's just a little window.
Yes. I was exactly that. And I said, oh, do you know what? I was like, actually, yeah. And I quit the job that week. Then I said, shit, I was like, I'm gonna quit my job. And he's like, yeah, no, I think you're right. And then I came into him, I've done that now. He's like, you did it now. He's like, well, I thought you meant like that we were on the, this was the beginning of the
The
chat,
evolution of it,
the
like,
evolution. We've moved to this part of it. And that, and I was like, no, I just did it there.
it's
And he
done.
was like, okay. And he was like, you know, wasn't like he was very supportive. He was just, but I think sometimes I have to be like that with decisions because I think I'm real. Love a snap decision because I think even and I thought the success rate I feel is high, but it's more frustrating for me to deliberate over something. Like, you know, okay, some things you should
Because you're
think
going to
about a
come to the
little.
con yeah, but you're going to come to the conclusion anyway. You're going to take that action anyway.
Yeah,
So,
if it's kind of a thing like that it's just your decision and it's your gut, I think just make this now obviously if it's a different type of decision about where should I get this knee surgery and you have to do a bit of research, that's obviously different. But if it's something that is just it's a chance thing and it's just you going with your instinct, just make it quick.
but you've done
And
so much more since. I mean, this podcast is all about stretching us. You guys are all about keeping it tight.
keep it
Keeping it
tight.
tight.
Pelvic floor. I've been doing my pelvic floors throughout this podcast as I've been chatting to you. That's how good I am.
You know, when I think of Dove, I think of deep nourishment and care, creamy rich lather, and groundbreaking campaigns that showed real women, real beauty. But their new range of Dove Advanced Care goes even further to bring us all 24-hour lotion soft skin straight from the shower. It is their best ever body wash with renewing micro moisture technology, which works to regenerate the skin's natural moisture from within. A body wash with lasting and effective relief for dry skin, making you feel even more beautiful, confident, and cared for while you get through whatever stretch you're in. My brief and often interrupted showers have been upgraded since switching to Dove's new Advanced Care Body Wash. My skin is soft and nourished, and it's a moment of real advanced care. I hope you try it soon. Let me know what you think.
It's
Lies,
I
lies.
love it. I really do. I mean, obviously the two of you together is gold. Conversations like as I'm moving further and further away from like those early motherhood years back into reclaiming who I am, but also having to now
Yes.
fix myself
It's so true, isn't it?
and
Yeah.
keep myself fixed and prepared. Like I find like Deirdre's observations on what is to come in the next phase. No doubt you're also sitting
I
there being like,
know.
Jesus Christ, tell me more.
I know. Yeah, she is totally mental. She's a walking pharmacy. She's kind of, you know, well, when that happens now, you need love. No, you need to get onto that. But she's a great person to have around or just to be in her sphere. She's so positive all the time. She's not a martyr, which I love. None of that nonsense, which is fantastic. Like acknowledges the guilt that we all feel, but not gonna wallow in it, not gonna spend any time. Acknowledge it that it's there, but it's stupid and let's move forward. And you know, let's sniff out the crack, let's have a good time. But self, like just what you were saying about fixing yourself and staying fixed. I think like it's even if you have a fantastic pregnancy and everything is fabulous, I think we all can acknowledge like the haze of the early days, and then you know again, then if you're in that zone of like baby and toddler and you know other children or whatever, but like it does take a while to come out of that, even with all going well and you know with no other life stuff happening or whatever,
Just if the normal stuff is like,
just
if
of the
that's your
normal,
norm, yeah.
yeah. And I think it's basically. When your child goes to school, then you can begin kind of starting to think about yourself again. Like even the other day there, I was buying myself a load of clothes and I had a little giggle come to myself because I was like, oh, this is like, I remember doing this when I was younger. So I even remember when I had Ella, I didn't have the boys or anything like that, and I was working in the talent to sports, but I had an hour lunch, the luxury, and I used to boot it over to Henry Street on my lunch and like buy clothes or, you know. But that was just like my little thing that I, but you know, the way even to be in that zone of like wanting to buy clothes and wanting, you know, that you would have the expectation that you would buy clothes and they would look nice on you, like the excitement of buying clothes. I was like, oh, this is a lovely place to be in, but I know I wouldn't have been in that place a few years ago when I had younger kids. Now, that's just me personally. I know some people are great at like putting themselves together when they've younger kids, but
I'm not one of those people.
oh, every time I have a child, even if I'm feeling positive and all that, I myself gets neglected, you know. And just even I think like kind of just getting back to like looking after yourself and having time to have a few thoughts for yourself, like, oh yeah, the book. I was chatting to Gail, the publisher, and I there was like talk of maybe like, you know, coffee table, funny kind of, you know, nice, funny, feel good book. And I was like, oh yeah, I'll send you know, can I send you some bits or whatever? And they were like, oh yeah, absolutely. So I sent them some writing, and they were like, oh no, there's a lot more here now than that. Let's roll it back there and have a little chat about this. And I was like, yeah, now I kind of feel like there's something there. I think 18-year-old Emma, if she thought she'd be talking about it, let alone writing a book.
Because the book is about the story of 18-year-old Emma who went to court and who got
Yeah,
pregnant in four
that's
days.
got pregnant in 4 days. That's like the crux of the whole thing, you know? So, no, I never would have believed it, but I would have been like too closed off. Should even like, even when I started doing comedy, it took me a long time to make jokes about it. I started making jokes about it and all that and being very open about it. I was like, oh, that's lovely. I really enjoyed that. But then I felt like with the book, I was like, oh, I've done all the jokey stuff. And obviously now there's loads of funny stuff in the book, like, but I was like, oh, let me just kind of go backtrack and kind of just go into maybe the trauma of it a little bit more. So because so I feel like compared to stand up, there's a bit more light and shade, there's a bit more detail there, you know. And I think I was at a point where I probably wanted to do something like that, you know, like I feel like I am fully recovered. And that sounds stupid because like, yeah, you fucking want to be, it's 21 years ago, but you know yourself, like you could be talking to any mother and she'd be telling, oh no, when I had James now, and this, and like James is in his 40s, you know, and he has children of his own and his children have children. But like that stuff stays with you. And I think like because I was 18, that was literally my introduction to adulthood. So I never experienced being an adult without being a parent. So that was all completely ingrained in the foundations of adult Emma. And I think it's okay. I feel like I'm in a place now where it's okay to acknowledge it does have an effect on you. I would have been very much the person be like, oh me, oh sure, I'm grand. Everything's grand at me. Oh, sure, that was years ago. Who cares? Ha ha. Let's have a gin and tonic or whatever. And that's, yeah, you have to obviously be like that sometimes because you have to get on with things. But
Function.
yeah, but I think it's okay to acknowledge that like things have an effect, and even things that have a happy outcome and all work out in the end, they do. But it's okay to acknowledge that there was lots of different parts to that, and it was a process because it's all a process, isn't it? It's not like, you know, this, you know, like shit getting abs in 6 weeks. Best of luck. But everyone knows, we all want to believe that is possible, and everyone knows that that is not possible, you know, like. So I think it's maybe just acknowledging. I think I'm probably at a point where I'm okay to acknowledge, yeah, it took a long time. And I'm not scarlet for myself anymore saying that. It's okay if it takes a long time. And
Is it
loads
an
of.
age thing, or do you think it's also part of the fact that you had to, like, you came through a bit of a cycle of actually reconnecting with a truer version of you than the one that was just in survival mode all the time?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe it's an age thing. I think maybe when we're in our 20s and into our 30s, we
Still trying to prove that you're all right.
you can't, yeah, you can't prove that you're all right and that like everything's grand and like you're doing this and that and it's all, but you're, yeah, it there's too much going on. And I feel like, yeah, maybe I'm at a point now where I'm okay to like say, I'm okay to acknowledge the messy parts. You know, like I feel like they don't, it don't, it doesn't, none of it bothers me. And even now, if I had a messy part, or like, I don't know, say I had a show that I didn't feel went as well as it could, or I'd be like, Jesus, them tickets in wherever, oh my God, they're gonna break my heart. I don't really care. Like I do care, but you know what I mean? I don't care about
It
acknowledging
doesn't
it.
make you crumble in the way that, like,
No.
your self-esteem is now solid enough that it can take those hits.
Yeah, I think so. And I think a lot of the time I was using a lot of energy to try to prove to people I was strong.
Yeah.
No, I was strong. Like I was strong. I
You
definitely
were,
was
but it wasn't
strong, but
effortless.
yeah, I think I wanted to just pretend like, oh, I'm grand or whatever. So yeah, I feel like that's where it just felt like a good time to, you know, and it's so funny actually. When I wrote it, I had never written about myself and about that period of time like that. I'd written bits before and stuff, and but I hadn't, you know, like when you're writing, like you're really getting into it, like you're really exploring every little part of everything. And I had seen my mom during the week, and think about like cold or, you know, something not major. And as I was writing, my mom texted me the next day, and she'd written something like, how are you today? And I opened the message and I went, oh, that's what I did. And then I was like, what am I doing? But it was because I was writing all this like early teenage stuff. I had completely regressed in
Regressed.
my mind. I was like, oh, I was like, that's weird. So there was actually a little period of time where I had to acknowledge that as I was writing certain parts of it, I did have to like look at a few things and just kind of check in with how did I actually feel about that? And that was a little bit icky, but I'm glad I did it now, because I was like, at one point when I was writing, I was like, oh Jesus, I was like, I should have left this alone. Not in the sense of anyone else reading it or anything like that, but it was for my own head. I was like, oh, why have I opened this up now? I was like, I didn't, it took me a while to acknowledge, oh, this is having an effect on me. But then I was like, okay, yeah, just like this is good, you know, like just acknowledge this, process it and whatever. So then it was fine.
I
But it was
think
weird.
I'd like to say that I don't think that we all need to have a book deal to go through that, but I think it's really
Yeah,
important. I think it's a really important thing to do, and we don't often get the opportunity
yeah,
to actually force ourselves to deeply reflect on these big defining moments
yes.
that we push down in order to make the world think that we could survive anything and that we were incredibly strong and that we hadn't messed up our lives. And also intertwined in that is you'd created a human who you deep like loved so
I
deeply.
know, it's so complicated. But I had to look back at periods of my life and say, I actually wasn't happy then. And even though you desperately wanted to be happy, and felt like you'd every reason to be happy, you know, like that you know, you had trying to practice your gratitude. It's like everyone's happy and healthy. Everyone, you know, da, 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 da. But it's like now, there's actually a little bit of something inside me that was feeling unfulfilled, you know, that there was a part of me that was unfulfilled or whatever. So yeah, it was good to look back and acknowledge some of those moments and then just, you know, move on. But it definitely gave me, was funny, somebody was saying to me that they had read the book and they were like, oh, your mom, it's just like comes out of it. It's like such, just like a superstar, like just like all the support she'd given you and everything. And I was worried, because when I wrote it, I wanted to write it very honestly. And I didn't want to kind of paint as, oh, I was this like little angel child and I got pregnant and I thought, oh, this is terrible. But then I said, okay, I better get on with this. And everything worked out great. I was like, no, it wasn't really like that. There's parts of me where I'm like, yeah, I was a little bitch, or, oh, my mom's racking my head, but I wanted to include all that stuff because I was like, I want to be honest about this. So I'm glad that she came out the way that I felt and do feel about her, but still not trying to like sugarcoat it or whatever. I was trying to be honest about it, like families and family life and new arrivals and people dying and all those things going on,
There's a movie in it. Like there really is. But I think the name even, like mad, isn't it? Like mad, isn't it that 18-year-old Emma is now 40 and has written a book and it's now part of your career. It's part of your
Yeah,
success. It's part of what
it's
you put on a pedestal. Like if you had like that girl that slid down the wall after doing the pregnancy test,
I
if you had
know.
told her you're gonna get a book deal for this.
I'd say she'd be mortified. And she'd be like,
Of
sorry, do you
course
have
she
a,
would.
she'd be like mortified. And then she'd be like, sorry, do you have a smoke? Like, who fucking,
Yeah.
who's this old woman dog? You're 40 and you're doing that. Oh my God, Scarlett. I know. I think she'd be secretly chuffed. She'd be like, wow. But no, I really thought, no, I honestly really thought, I was like, I didn't think my life, yeah, I did at certain points think my life was over. But when I made the adjustment to realizing that my life wasn't over, but it was like, I'm not, but the thing was, I thought I'm not going to have a life that I wanted. That was where I had moved to that place. I was like, okay, my life's not over. I was like, it's all good, but I'm not going to have the life that I may have, like,
Assumed.
want. Yeah, or like, not even assumed, a life that I would have dreamed about. I was like, well, that's not going to happen. And then I did. So I'm like, deadly, grand.
But you wouldn't have if you hadn't have made those bold decisions. You
No.
could have kept drifting. You could have kept yourself trapped in
Oh,
a
so easy.
place
And
where you weren't
it's
happy.
so cozy, isn't it?
You
It's
know, you
so
made yourself
cozy.
get here.
It's so cozy to just stay in the thing you're doing, or even just all the stuff around if you work in a certain place and the distance that it is from your house or where your child is minded, and then and that suits me because they have this thing in work that when you're there for X amount of time, they give you this, and all that stuff keeps you just like ticking over. It's enough of a reward, or it's enough of a comfort for you to go grand. And then you might tell yourself, oh, once. We all have different sort of deadlines, or once the kids are in school, I'll whatever, or once the kids are out of, when they get out of primary school now, and whatever, there's always something, because then everyone has stuff in the evenings and matches and whatever, and then you're driving people places and da 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 da, and then oh, your parents need your help now as well. They, so there's never a perfect time to really start anything. And I think if you get a little window to do something that has been niggling inside, I think if you have something that's been niggling inside you, that it's your little, whether it's fashion, whether it's art, whatever it is, whether it's writing. When you feel that little niggle, and if there's any sort of any little window, it doesn't have to be a perfect window, but if any sort of little window opportunity to do something about it, you just have to take it. Because if when I look at it now, I say, oh, doing stand up, like let's just call it a spade, like let's just say for what it was, I was doing comedy in Temple Bar on a Tuesday night to 30 people. Like nobody cared. Do you know what I mean? But I cared because that was my little window. No one was, it's not like I was going to say, oh, I want to do stand up. I was going to make a phone call and I was going to be on Live at the Apollo that week. You know, sometimes I feel like we wait for too big of a sign.
Yeah.
Too
It's
big,
not a
you know.
signier sign. I need a signier sign. That's not
Yeah.
enough of a sign.
Yeah. You just need
Yeah.
a little tiny flicker. And if you squint, you might see it flicker and then it's gone. Like, it's not, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? Does that sound a bit cheesy? But you're not
No.
going to get, I haven't experienced
We
like
wait.
big moments and big. It's little kind of nudges. It's little light taps on your shoulder going.
We don't do the thing that our niggle is asking us to do because we're not a success yet. But you
Yes.
can't be that if you haven't actually taken the first step yet.
Sometimes I feel, right, as we get older, we think the ship has sailed.
Yeah.
Who'd be interested in me? Now, when I did stand up, I know I keep banging on about stand up, but you're like, what else would I be talking about? When
Your
I did
book.
stand up, every book I know, including book, available now to pre-order, buy the book.
Yeah.
It's good. Honest to God, it is good. But when I started a stand up and I was 29, I thought, oof, I've missed the boat. I'm 29. Because we are fed all this media, and I especially would have been in my 20s, about 20 year olds and 21 year olds. And like 21 is like, you know, but you're fed a lot of stuff. Whereas now, and I truly believe it, and it is true, that life experience really stands to you. And the other thing about it is, especially with creative things, there's a lot of younger people doing creative fields. So if I threw a stone, I would hit 20 fellas in their 20s doing stand-up it or once. And there'd be a whole other crowd behind me who I haven't managed to whack with the stick or whack with the stone yet. But in terms of women in their 40s who are doing stand-up comedy, sure, we'd have a little nice brunch,
yeah.
A lot of us. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes...
I'd buy tickets to that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd buy tickets to that.
We'd have to be poured into a taxi about 9 o'clock. But, you know, sometimes the thing that you think in your head that is holding you back, that you're too old or whatever, it could actually be the thing that sets you apart. You know what I mean? Like if it's fitness and you're like, oh, well, I can't do fitness because it's all about like people in crop tops and, you know, with six packs. Doing it. Well, no, because maybe there's not enough of like, you know, women in their 40s and 50s doing fitness to people who relate to them. Maybe that's the other part of the market is saturated. Maybe it's your time to get in there. So I feel like when I was younger, I thought age is a barrier. And now that I'm older, I think age is a positive.
It's a quality.
It's very convenient how that happened as I got older. I decided.
Very,
well,
very.
Look, aging is brilliant. But I do actually believe that, and the experience and life experience. And I think as well, if you're a little bit older and you go into something and you've actually made that leap and you've decided, no, I'm going to give this a little bit of a go now. You probably have been thinking about it for a long time. So, you know, there's a chance that you probably maybe are going to be better than somebody 20, 30 years younger than you, who is maybe more in the sphere of just trying out different things and seeing what they're like. You know, the way when you're older, if you're going to try out different things, you probably are going to, like everything you do, you probably give it a little bit more thought to. Because you've got to, you know, you've got to.
More conscientious.
Yeah. So.
But I think as well, when we think of, oh, I'm too old to do that, nobody'd want that.
Yeah.
We think that we're the only one who got older.
Of course.
But like
yeah.
everyone that was your age is also there. And they're also looking for, like, they don't see themselves in that category that you've placed yourself.
I know.
So they, like, I wouldn't be coming to your comedy gig being like, oh, I'm going to an old woman's comedy gig.
Of course.
It's not. You're my age. So I'm going to a comedy gig of a woman who sees life through my eyes and the observations that I see and turns them into a really funny thing.
Yeah. Or it's like that, you know, someone be scarlet, like, I don't know, plucking the hairs out of their chin or something. Like, yeah, but every other woman is doing that.
Yeah.
Like, you're not the only one. We're all doing that. Like, it's fine. So, yeah, but the book is good. No, I'm delighted with the book. I'm in that zone now at the moment where I'm anxious because my family haven't read it yet.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm like, oh yeah, the
Yeah.
book, talk about the book. But I am delighted. I'm dying for people to read it. Like I'm dying to hear what people think of it. I think people might be surprised that it's actually a book, you know.
Yeah.
But
A
I
memoir.
a memoir, yeah. Who knew there was a memoir? But no, I'm delighted with it, and I just can't wait to hear what people think about it.
So
Dying.
Mad, isn't it? A hilarious,
Mad,
moving
isn't it?
story about life, friendship, motherhood, and taking risks. A hilarious and inspiring memoir from one of Ireland's most popular comedians, Emma Doran. Mad, isn't it?
Skirt.
Look, I'm thrilled for you. I'm
Oh,
thrilled for
thanks,
you.
Samuel.
I've been
Thanks for
thrilled for
having
you
me.
since
You have, in fairness. You
it's
have.
been what, 6 years since I launched Every Mum,
Yes.
the brand, and there was a big brand party, and I had you as the
Yes.
comedian
I
on
remember
the
it
night,
well. I remember it well. I honestly do
and
remember it well.
it was a
Because
great night.
it was actually a great night. I remember it so well because it's so funny. Sometimes, because you do a lot of gigs and people
Yeah.
say, oh, I saw you, and you just have to have that frozen smile thing
You're
where
like,
you
yeah.
try and rattle through your brain, when was that? Because you're like, I do a lot of gigs. And yeah, that was a great night. And do you know what? I was like, I remember that night, it was just a room full of women
Yeah.
kind of in the same zone. And I was like, oh, I was like, this is glorious.
It was
I was like,
glorious.
yeah, I was
It
like,
was
this.
a great night.
That was like the precursor to like an Emma Doran show, I feel.
It was a
Do you know what
great,
I mean?
yeah. Like your material was fantastic. It was a really, really good crowd, a really good night.
Yeah.
And like maybe it's time I do another one. Who knows?
Do another
Can't
one.
afford you now.
You can't afford me now. I'll do your mates' rates. I'd love to do another one though. You should do another
Yeah,
one.
just do
Yeah,
another one.
6 years.
6 years, a stretch mark
Although
tonight, maybe is
it.
needed.
I do you know what? When you say 6 years, I'm like, Jesus, 6 years. But that honestly feels like a lifetime ago in the
Yeah.
same way. It's I'm
Oh,
sure
yeah.
it's to you as well, does it?
Complete lifetime ago. A
Yeah.
complete, a different, like a whole different version of myself ago.
Yes,
A whole different version of myself ago. Another child ago. Like
yeah,
I've
so what
created humans
you
since.
had a
I had
1 year-old
one,
then.
yeah, I had a
Yeah.
1 year-old then. So yeah, and I was like right back from maternity leave, and I
Yeah.
was so, but I, do you
Oh.
know what? I was so proud. I was so proud that night. Like that
Yes.
was the culmination of so much work, and I was so proud to put it into the world, and I was so well received, and I was beaming. So
I
actually, what
think you
I,
could feel that in the room. I think that's
yeah.
probably why it was such a good night, because it was. So, you know the way, like you go to an event, right? Now, I don't really go to events unless it's something for the kids. I'll get sucked in. I'm like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah.
But you know, when you go to event, like very nice events and all the rest of it, and these are our canapes and oh yeah, bubbles and whatever. But like, there's no warmth to it
Yeah.
because everyone who's there
There's
has been,
strangers
they're
taking
all
pictures of
straight,
themselves.
yeah. And you know, the
Yeah.
people that are you're chatting to, they're being paid on behalf of a brand or
To
whatever
be there, yeah.
to be there. But because it was actually your thing and it was your work, it's probably why you could feel it in the room.
Yeah.
That's just my theory, but like people pick up on energies. But like, but that was a party though. That night was a party.
It was a party.
Yeah, you know, it
I
was.
wanted a party. I wanted a proper party.
It definitely was, yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted you. I wanted you on stage making us laugh at a party. Like I didn't want us to all stand there, because I do think you need to break the ice at these things.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
And get everyone like not, you know, a bit looser and kind of,
I
you know.
know,
Now we had a
yeah.
serious element too. I remember we did do so. We presented some
Yeah.
research on how actually kind of mentally stretched everybody was.
Yes.
And I think that was important too. But then that was covered in your comedy. Like you also made light of it, like of
Yeah.
how the experiences you had in your comedy were so true and then represented in the stats afterwards. You know, so like it had a good,
So
anyway,
funny.
don't know why we're this isn't even my brand anymore, so
Let's do a stretch marks one then. Yeah.
listen, thank you so much
Yeah,
for joining
I'll
me.
plug the book at it.
We'll have a book signing of it.
Yeah, which I keep failing
Yeah,
to
we'll have
do.
it. Keep it tight, mad, isn't it? Stretch yourself. Retreat in Ibiza.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. We have enough. Yeah, let's just go hard. I
the
think.
whole
You know,
thing,
yeah.
just a big gang of Maz.
I exactly. Look, I'm all for the wellness and all that and the yoga mats and great, but you know what I mean. Sometimes you just gotta tear it up and have an excuse. I have to go. It's work.
Yeah,
that's what the Maz really want. The Maz want an excuse to have a night. So you know.
That's our next meeting then. Okay.
Yeah.
All right,
pencil it in.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And I'll chat to you soon.
You will.
Sure, that's it. Thank you to every guest, listener, comment, share, rate and review. And if you haven't left one, please, now is your chance. It makes such a difference to the success of the podcast and the hope of another season. So thank you, thank you. Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Dealing with mental health can be hard, but United Healthcare can help make getting care easier. With Mental Health Complete Plus, provided by Teladoc Health, unlimited virtual sessions for only $59.99 a month. Visit mentalhealthcomplete.com to learn more.
Discover Hydro, the best kept secret in fitness. Hydro is the state-of-the-art at-home rower that engages 86% of your muscles, delivering the ultimate full-body workout in just 20 minutes. From advanced to beginner, Hydro has over 500 classes shot worldwide and taught by Olympians and world-class athletes. For a 30-day risk-free trial, go to Hydro.com and use code ROW450 to save $450 on a Hydro Pro rower. That's HYDROW.com, code ROW450.